the Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Donald Novis, Bill Thompson, the Paul Taylor Choristers, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Great Day. When your friends come in your front door, what is the first thing they see? What gives them their first impression of your home and of you as a housekeeper? It's usually your floors. And if those floors have a mellow, gleaming wax beauty, then you have something to be proud of. If they're dull and shabby, then you needn't expect many compliments, and you'd better call your dealer and put in an emergency order for genuine Johnson's Wax. One application of Johnson's Wax will make a tremendous difference, both in the appearance of the floors and in protection against wear. Johnson's Wax seals up the pores, guarding the finish against scuffing feet and dirt. A Johnson Wax floor is more beautiful with every application of wax. It's easy to clean and never needs scrubbing again. For over 50 years, Johnson's Wax has been giving protection and beauty to floors, furniture, and woodwork everywhere. It's sold in practically every country in the world. Order some yourself tomorrow. You'll find more than 100 uses for this labor-saving product listed on the package. Winter dramatic season sneaking up on us, there's been a great public clamor for Fibber to revive his original play, Hiawatha, which you may remember had a long run at the Bijou Theater one night in November 1936. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista discussing the revival, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
I told you, Molly, that someday they'd want to revive that play of mine.
Heavenly days. I don't know how they could revive anything as dead as that.
Oh, come on, I don't know. I think it's a pretty catchy little play.
Say, how do you think Mr. Boomer will play the part of the Indian chief?
Oh, he'll be okay if we have a big audience.
Oh, temperamental, huh?
Oh, no, but he says he can always play a buck with more confidence when he's got a full house.
Well, I'm certainly glad Mr. Gildersleeve's going to be in the play.
Ah, me too. He'll be great.
Oh, yes.
That guy ain't got any more nerves than a set of false teeth. Don't worry about Gildersleeve. He'll be...
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
I just thought I'd drop in and discuss this afternoon's rehearsal with you. It went splendidly, didn't it?
Oh, I don't know, Uppy. Some of those characters
and
didn't...
And you are simply magnificent as a director, Mr. McGee.
Oh, well...
Now, tell me, when did you first become interested in theatrical work?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Uppy. When I was only 7 years old, I went to a corn carnival in Peoria. They was advertising a peep show for 25 cents, and when I went in, all they had was a box of baby chickens. Right then and there, I realized there was dough to be made in the theatrical business. Well, sure,
Tell me, Mrs. McGee, at the rehearsal this afternoon, did you notice that perfectly absurd Indian costume Mrs. Gildersleeve was wearing?
Oh, wasn't it awful, Mrs. Uppington? Oh, my.
And then in 1909, I seen the Dolly Sisters.
And did you see Mrs. DePopulos thanking herself with a hairbrush because she'd read somewhere that the Indians tanned their own hides? Did you ever hear anything so fantastic?
Then in about 1914, I seen Raymond Hitchcock in Hitchy 2.
You know, but the funniest thing to me was when one of the characters came in wearing an Indian headdress with ostrich feathers and moccasins with 4-inch French heels, and it turned out to be you.
Wasn't that perfectly ridiculous? Nice, it looked so terrible. Oh, why, you mean me. Really, my idea. My costumer assured me.
And from there I went to Hollywood, where I got a job as a director for school kids at a busy intersection. Well, sir,
oh,
I was...
Oh, and did you see Mrs. Toots? Did you see her in that Indian princess costume with the buckle?
Yes. Wasn't that a scream, Mrs.
Oh, it's simply revolting, my dear. I spoke to her about it myself. I said, really, Mrs. Toots, I said, is that a bustle or has your papoose slipped?
And by that time, I seen where Talking Pictures had a real future. So what does I do? But
oh,
I...
good heavens, I didn't realize it was so late. I must be going. Oh, and thank you for that wonderful talk about the theater, Mr. McGee.
Huh?
Well, goodbye.
What does she mean to talk about the theater? I couldn't get a word in edgeways.
Oh, well.
The way you gals like to rip each other up the back, it's a wonder you ain't born with zippers on your spine. Thank goodness we got some good male characters in this play.
Say, how will Mr. Gildersleeve do?
Oh, I say, don't worry about him. He's wonderful. Why, he's the only guy in the whole bunch that I'm absolutely sure of.
Oh.
You see, he's in the big moment of the play. That's where I come in.
Oh.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. We were just talking about you.
Yeah, I was just saying, Throcky, old man, that if everybody in this show was as dependable as you...
McGee?
Huh?
I can't go through with it.
What?
What do you mean, Gildersleeve?
Well, frankly, McGee, I don't know. How do you feel when you have stage fright?
Why, that's easy, Mr. Gildersleeve. With stage fright, you have hot and cold running water in your arteries, and your hands feel like they belong to somebody else, and you wish they did.
Oh, that's me.
But, Gildersleeve, you don't mean to tell me you have stage fright. Why, I was depending on you.
I'm sorry, McGee. My goodness. I don't know what's come over me. Well, I'm simply terrified.
Oh, well, that's too bad, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, come, Throcky. You can do it all right. After all, I've seen you make a speech at the annual Rotary Club's banquet and never even fiddle with a fork.
Yes, McGee, but that's different. I've been making that same speech for 20 years. But this... No, I can't do it, McGee.
Oh, come on, Gildersleeve. You only got one line. All you have to say is, here comes Hiawatha now.
Yeah?
Sure. That's all there is to it. Go ahead, let's hear you do it.
All right, I'll try, McGee. Here comes here, Wapa now.
Oh, well, heavenly days. Now, what's the matter with that? Those pauses were very dramatic.
Oh, no.
Why, shucks, Gildersleeve, you ain't got a thing to worry about. Being nervous makes just for a good performance.
Well, I don't know, McGee.
And I know what I'm talking about, too. Why, when I was only a kid 3 years old, I started to be interested in theatricals. Why, when I was 4, I built my first theater out of a box that my father brought home from the office. Box Office McGee, I was known as. Box Office McGee, the boy Belasco of Broadway, buying, booking, bartering big batches of backdrop biters, busy as a bee, bringing a big boon in business to bare boxes and balconies, ballyhooing buffoons like Ben Blue, Ben Bernie, and Ben Hur, and bragged about as the Beau Brummel of the Barnstormers, from Boston's burlesque, bold and risque, to the brassy bands of the Bay of Biscay.
Thank you.
I got to get to the theater in time to check the scenery and costume. Here, right down this alley here.
Heavenly days. Why do all stage doors have to be up a dark, dirty old alley?
Don't sneer, Mrs. McGee. That's a valuable tradition. It brings the actors back to reality.
What do you mean, reality?
Well, for instance, when an actor's playing Henry VIII and takes off his gold sword and diamond-studded helmet and steps out of the theater into an alley full of stray cats and garbage cans, he realizes he ain't a king.
No.
He's just a mug with an overdue laundry bill and his name spelled wrong in the reviews. Hey, that ain't a bad idea.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. What you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I says, what you waiting here for? You got a friend in the show?
No.
Oh, you ain't, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
No.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. Say, mister, what time do they feed the actors?
Well, that's a tough one to answer, sis. A lot of actors have asked that same question. One side, sis. We got to go in the theater.
Oh, well, gee, can I please have your autograph? And can I please? And can I?
Have my what?
Your autograph.
Well, oh, you mean my autograph. Why, sure. There you are.
Oh, you just signed your name.
Well, what'd you expect? My address, phone number, and blood pressure?
Gee, for 2 bits I can send to Hollywood and get a big picture of almost anybody. Signed to my dear little pal and faithful member of the Hoosiers fan club with the affectionate regards of.
Oh, you can, eh?
Sure.
Well, I guess you know your way around, all right. Incidentally, you're kind of young to be a stage door Jenny, ain't you?
No.
Oh, yes, you are. But that's okay. Why, when I was a young fellow, I used to be one myself.
Oh, Anna?
Why, sure. I was always sporting around with some beautiful actress.
Oh, gee. Sarah Bernhardt, I bet you.
Well, I wouldn't go that far back, sis. You hear her talk, Molly? She don't even know what a stage door Johnny is.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, what is it then?
Well, a stage door Johnny is a chap who hangs around with orchids in his hand and dough in his jeans, waiting for a chorus girl with knots in her legs and larceny in her heart.
Well, come on, Molly. Let's go in.
Sorry there, kids. You can't come in. Actors only.
What do you mean, actors only?
Oh, hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Didn't recognize you.
Has Billy Mills and the orchestra arrived yet?
See?
We was wondering if Billy Mills and his boys are in the pit. Incidentally, you know why they put them fellas down in that pit, old-timer. It's the only way you can make a musician look up to an actor.
That's pretty good. That ain't the way I hear it. The way I hear it, one fella says to the other fella, says, I just read where there's more horses in this country than there ever was. Think you'll ever replace the automobile? Nope, says the other fella, not entirely. Anyway, not until they can cover baseballs with the skin of a Buick. Say, you kids better get dressed.
Oh, yes. All right, folks, now. Now, has everybody got their parts? All the costumes okay?
Say, Fibber.
For goodness sakes, Mr. Wilcox, not so loud. They'll hear you out front.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad to see you got a good-looking Indian costume, Harlow.
Thanks. Say, do you mind if I make a little curtain speech to kind of tie in with the show?
Must be a very funny speech, but I'm afraid not, Harlow. If there's any speech-making to be done, I'll do it.
Why, Mr. Wilcox, what did you want to tell them? And what do you mean, tie in with the show?
Well...
Well, I wanted to say something about another redskin bites the dust, and then something about dust bites another redskin because he didn't have sense enough to avoid dust and dirt in his wigwam by using Johnson's self-polishing blowtorch. You know, the no-rubbing, no-buffing floor polish that shines as it dries? I think it'll be very neat. Oops!
Hey, what's the matter with you, Wilcox? That was a cute idea, but it wasn't that good.
It wasn't?
Why?
Oh, yes, it wasn't.
Well, what on earth is so amused?
What? Oh, you mean what am I laughing at? I can't help it. The feathers in this darn headdress keep tickling the back of my neck. Hey, what do you say, Jasper?
Ladies and gentlemen, that beautiful number by Donald Novis and the Paul Taylor Choristers denoted the lapse of 2 hours and 2 acts of Hiawatha. So we proceed with the third smashing act of this gripping drama. As the curtain rises, Pocahontas is talking with her father, Chief Powhatan.
And what does my father, the mighty Chief Powhatan, think of my lover?
Well, now, my little beaver dam, a dame. I don't believe I caught the name, but if he is a mighty warrior, perhaps he is the right lad for you.
He is Hiawatha, father, and he is strong. He is brave. He is handsome. He is, well, in fact, Popsy, he's Clark Gable with feathers.
Why doesn't Pocahontas rave about some handsome local brave? I'd like to see you share your tent with someone who's a local gent.
Hush, father. He comes. Hiawatha comes.
Here comes Hiawatha. Now?
Hi, Pocahontas.
Hi, Hiawatha. Arthur. Whither comest thou hither from?
From the shores of Hoochie Coochie, from the shining big sea water. I have come for Pocahontas. Tell your dad I want his daughter.
Welcome, welcome, Teep our Toopie, or to our teepee. Hiawatha, mighty warrior.
Listen, Pokey, tell your father not to sneer at Hiawatha. If he does not care for strangers, he is just a dog in manger.
Say not so, my Hiawatha. He is but the chief, my father. He is old, and though he's flighty, he is Powhatan the mighty. Father, this is Hiawatha. Hiawatha's my boyfriend.
Hello, my boy. I hear you're smarting.
Smoting.
Smitten.
Smote or smarting, smit or smarting, it's the same. There is no difference. Welcome, welcome, Hiawatha. Stick around and meet your in-laws. Incidentally, where are you from, kid?
I have come from Jamestown thither. They are all in quite a dither. They are planning a Thanksgiving.
They should be thankful. They are living.
And what of us, my Hiawatha? How does this affect the Redskins?
We are all invited hither. They're having turkey, and I love it. It's a break. We must not muff it.
I should say so, Hiawatha. I always think that I have got luck when I'm asked to share some potluck. But the sky looks like we'd have wet weather, so I'll go put on my rubber feather.
What's this mini ha-ha rumor? Or has gossip pulled a bloomer?
She's just an old friend of the family. Just a squaw that men forget. She gave me one ha-ha too many. Too many ha-has she was giving.
Ah, then come, my Hiawatha. Let us walk into the forest.
That's a thought, my Pocahontas. We will walk by spruce and birch trees, by the whispering pines and hemlocks,
by the gurgling streams and brooklets,
by a can of Johnson's Glow Coat. By and large, it is the finest. Oh, you've got me.
Hiawatha never misses. Come on, Pokey, let's try some kisses.
Ah, what is that? I hear a crashing. Hark, if you can stop your mashing.
It's probably a bear or a plover.
Or Henry Wadsworth turning over. Ah, look, they come, my Hiawatha. It is Powhatan, my father. They are noisy. They are fearful. They give me an awful earful.
Me too. Hiawatha hears them whooping. Listen to that boop-a-dooping. It is not their spears, I fear. It is just their whoops, my dear.
If I were you, I'd make for home. They plan to devastate your dome. You lose your hair and I lose you. I wouldn't blame you if you blew.
Say not so, my sweetheart true. I'll stay and shoot a buck or two.
Look, my boy, see, it's this way. My warriors seem to resent my daughter marrying outside the tribe. The tribe thinks we should beat your brains out. Huh? All right, boys, grab him.
Oh, father, make them stop that yelping. My lover's bald and not worth scalping.
Never mind them, Pocahontas. It appears they just don't want it. If these boys are really sore, that's all there is. There ain't no more.
Blindfold him. That's it.
No.
I'll bring him over to this stump. And if he struggles, slug the charm.
Oh. Father.
Careful there. Be quiet, daughter. This guy gilded Laughing Water.
What?
Just got this wire, Racine, Wisconsin, where Minnehaha works for Johnson. She says she had him in the halter, but he faded at the altar. All right, boys. All right, boys. Let me at him with this tomahawk. Now, where I put that tomahawk? Tomahawk. I'm right here someplace.
Oh, my.
Let's see. Here's a postcard from my bootblack. Says they sent his father back to the prison farm. Oh, well, nothing like making hay while the sun shines. A credit card on a Chinese flop house. Very luxurious joint, too. Orientals all over the floor. A check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No tomahawk. Guess I'll have to use this war club. Ooh. Ready, boys? When I say three, pass his brains out. Maybe we should have brought a smaller club.
Oh, Hiawatha, darling, do not let them bump you off.
Goodbye, Pocahontas. Tell the costumer I died with his moccasins on.
Not so, my boy. We cannot do it. If we went on, we both would rue it.
Hey, what do you mean, Powhatan?
History says you were saved. Huh? And who am I to make a mug out of history?
Oh. Yeah! Ah, you are saved. Hiawatha is saved, and we will live happily ever after.
Well, where's the applause? Didn't I get the idea?
Didn't you get the idea?
The audience.
Oh, them. They went home long ago.
Oh, boy. Low bows.
We'll be back in just a moment. When you buy linoleum, its colors are bright and fresh. Wouldn't it be nice if you could always keep them that way? Well, you can very easily, simply by buying a can of Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Glow Coat will not only keep the colors bright and new-looking, but it will also make the linoleum last years longer than floor covering that is continually scrubbed with soap and water. Too much scrubbing softens and cracks the surface. Glow Coat protects the surface. And besides this protection, Glow Coat's a wonderful labor saver. In the first place, it requires no rubbing or buffing. It's self-polishing. Just apply and let dry. And in 20 minutes, you have a sparkling, beautiful floor. In the second place, it's easy to keep a Glow-Coated floor spotless. Spots and stains wipe up quickly with a damp cloth. You can use Glow Coat for your painted and varnished wood floors, too. You'll find it everywhere. The attractive red and yellow can of Glow Coat. Spell G-L-O hyphen C-O-A-T.
Sorry to announce that Donald Novus, who has been with us for more than a year, leaves tonight for a personal appearance and a concert tour.
Yes, and we're very happy to have had you with us, Don, and we all wish you every success.
Lots of good luck, Don.
Thank you, Fibber and Molly.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next week at this same time. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.